Help me help you.
In this episode, we're talking all things Tom Cruise.
TC.
This is Alex from Los Angeles.
And this is Karan from San Francisco. Welcome to Movies That Shaped Us. We are two longtime friends who grew up on opposite ends of the globe with very different backgrounds, but were shaped and are still being shaped by the movies we see and love. In this bonus episode, we'll cover a filmmaker, actor, director, screenwriter who shaped our love of film. So, Alex, you already teed this up, but TC, why TC?
Well, we're starting this new series of bonus episodes, and I figure we need to start with the biggest star in the world right now, and that is TC, that is Tom Cruise. And not only is he the biggest star in the world, but for me personally, he was definitely, growing up, child of 80s, 90s, mm-hmm. He was the biggest sort of working movie star at the time. Like even when I was a kid, if you ask me, oh, who are like movie stars, Tom would be maybe not the first name I would say, but in the first two names I would say. And he has been with us in the last 30 years, continuing to put out like movie star level, and maybe we'll get into this when we talk more about him, movie star level performances. And right now I do think he is the last movie star that we have, maybe ever. What is your experience with Tom?
Yeah, you know, growing up in India, so far away from here, there are a handful of people who were instant, you know, figures in my mind when I thought of Hollywood and you know, American movies. And Tom Cruise is definitely in that pantheon, you know, mm-hmm. from the very, very beginning. I don't think I fully came to realize his star persona and all of it until later in life, because I just frankly hadn't seen everything. But mm-hmm. I feel like my entry to him it's a strange film to pick, but it's War of the Worlds, because I think it would be on TV a lot for some reason. And I just remember watching that movie over and over again. And even though I don't think people, account for that movie as one of Spielberg's best or TC's best, although I'll like that movie a lot.
Yeah, me too.
So for me, like, Tom Cruise's impression was that, yeah, this is an action star, but this is also somebody who can do lighthearted comedy. This is also somebody who can be very dramatic, very, very attractive and good looking, like in a very singular signature kind of mm-hmm. way. Especially growing up in the 80s and 90s, like that era of Tom Cruise, you know, everything we know about, at least I knew about fashion and wearing aviators and carrying yourself or running as fast as you possibly can. Like all this comes from him, you know?
Yeah. For me, I was actually trying to think like the first Tom movie I would have seen. And I think, again, the reason why I wanted to talk about him in our first episode is he was always there, even if I hadn't seen necessarily a film of his, or, you know, when I was really young, I wasn't saying he was my favorite actor, but he was always there, like in that conversation. So probably the first movie I really would have seen of his, I think, as like a young teenager, is probably Mission Impossible, to be totally honest. I think that was the one. Yeah, the first one. Yeah. Saw that in the theaters. I knew he was this major Hollywood star. And after that, I'm like, this guy is so, like, to your point about him being just like kind of cool and at the cutting edge of all these different things. In that movie, he was like, to me, as a young kid, which actually we've talked about this film before, if folks want to go back to episode 8, really early on in our in our podcast, you can hear our thoughts on the first Mission Impossible. But right from there, I'm like, this guy is just super cool, like living up to all these ideas in my head of what like a movie star should do and how a movie star should act and what a movie star should exude in terms of charisma. And then as I followed his career more closely, just having at that point, like just starting my journey in terms of love of film, you go back and start seeing all these great works of films. And especially in, you know, the last, at that time it was in the 90s. So the last two decades, Tom was all over that. And I think what was really key to his stardom and why he is such an important movie star, at least back then, is because he did a lot of variety of things. He'd do mm-hmm. the romantic comedies. He would do the Interview with the Vampire, where he's, you know, a horror film. He'd do the mm-hmm. action movies. Now he's definitely settled into this like sort of different phase of his career that is, maybe all Mission Impossible movies at this point, but
yeah,
and we love him for that. But back then, the variety of the different movies he would choose and the different ways he would use his persona is what to me defines what a movie star is. Like, he was Tom in all those roles,
right?
He can't escape his persona, but he can apply it to all these different genres in a way that, you know, I think that to me, that's what makes a movie star. And that's why I think he's probably our last one.
Yeah. That, and also I would say, like a lot of movie stars from, you know, older years too, he seemed to have taken his movie career in his own hands, meaning working with the best directors and most varied directors, especially in that time frame that you're talking about, and sort of very carefully constructing his persona and also making some pretty bold choices at that time. And I mean, this could almost be like a separate podcast, and I'm sure people have talked and researched this, that how the different directors that he worked with mm-hmm. harnessed the TC persona and used it, you know, in different ways, which is so critical for all movie stars, right? People want to see, or at least they think that they are seeing the real person on screen, even though they are playing a character,
which may
or may not be true. I mean, who knows? Who will ever know? But it sort of feels like that, oh, this is who Tom Cruise must be. And to your point, as time has gone by, the real Tom Cruise is that's what I think, that this is the real Tom Cruise that we are seeing on screen, who's this action person now, and who mm-hmm. will push himself to the limits of whatever it takes, and who's sincere, who's dogged pursuit of, you know, creating something magical, but at the same time is neurotic and crazy. Unreal, and maybe even an alien. And that's what he portrays on film now.
Yeah, I think that's another aspect of, to me at least, and we should probably do a full episode about movie stars in general, and like kind of what shaped our aspect of that. But to me, it is a lot about this person almost like doesn't exist outside of their screen persona. And we don't really know. I mean, I guess with Tom, this is kind of, he went in a slump in his career when we started finding out too much about him as in his personal life. And that actually derailed his career for a little bit. For me, what I always loved about Tom was there was this, distance of, I don't really know much about who this guy is, but I see what he does on screen. And that's Tom to me, not the real Tom Cruise, whoever that, maybe he doesn't even know who that is, honestly, at this point.
Right.
But there's this on-screen persona that is separate from what a actual person would be like. Like, you know, he's not going to be like this in real life, but that's why you go to the movies, to see a version of someone who can't exist, but you kind of want it to. And that's what Tom exudes even now, like with all those stunts he does in these mission movies, like, this guy can't be real, but I'll believe he's real in the sense of what he does on screen. What he does outside of that, you know, I think that could be a whole other podcast.
Totally. And as you said, like, for a while, that was, you know, what was leading his image, all mm-hmm. of his personal stuff. And that derailed his career. And for a while, especially during the 2010 period, I think, when all these science fiction movies like Oblivion and such were coming out, I just remember feeling like, okay, this is just boring, you know?
Yeah.
And it's the same routine where he's trying to be the savior, you know, in some form or the other, which is probably why even Edge of Tomorrow, I think, suffered, because on paper it looked like the same movie, even though that movie is far from that and is brilliant.
Yeah, fantastic.
I think he suffered, and then boom, is there anybody to whom the pandemic helped more? Probably not.
Right.
I think the way he handled it, and then of course with Maverick and now Mission Impossible coming out this year, like, this is like, he's basically reclaimed his throne 100 times.
Right.
More.
No, you're totally
not
right.
Just, you know, in the public's mind, but also in the film community's mind, you know, that he sort of, not single-handedly, but had a pretty major role to play in saving movies and the movie theater experience. And suddenly all the things that people made fun of him, of being kind of crazy and obsessive about all of his, you know, filmmaking pursuits, that sort of has become now, oh, we all stand up and give him a standing ovation for that.
Right, right. Yeah, because he kind of used those things to bring movies back. I mean,
yeah.
Single-handedly, yeah, that does sound kind of giving him too much credit, but at the same right. time, he kind of did. Like him last year, which, you know, we talked about Top Gun Maverick in our 32nd episode about movies that shaped our 2022. So you can go back and listen to that if you want to hear more of our thoughts on that film. But that movie really did bring, remind, I think it, yes, it was at the time in terms of during COVID when people were starting to come back. But really what it did, I think, is remind people why the theatrical experience is so important. And honestly, he does get a lot of credit for that. He fought to prevent that movie from appearing on a streaming platform. You know, Paramount Plus is around and they were trying to get him to just look, put Top Gun Maverick on that. It's fine. It's the pandemic. People want to watch movies from home. And he refused. And I think that really is the shows his power in the industry, but also shows his commitment to the theatrical experience. But I think that is what makes movies different, especially nowadays with stream, like all these streaming shows and streaming movies. And Tom really believes that that you know, that is a difference and fights for it and puts his, you know, money where his mouth is.
Yeah. And in fact, you know, come what may, I still think that's what makes movie stars.
Yes.
Because there right. is something else about sitting in that dark room, watching somebody on this giant screen with that sound kind of really be literally larger than life. Mm-hmm. You know, those images is what you walk away from. And then they stay with you. And then, of course, the marketing and everything that goes along with it. There's a reason why in these polls that were conducted recently, I believe, where people, it was asked that, you know, who's the movie person that you would go and watch on the big screen? It's all people, you know, over the age of 50 for the most part.
Right.
Because the movies in the 80s and 90s, where it was primarily a theatrical experience, it makes a difference, you know. Sure, Zendaya and Tom Holland and Timothée Chalamet and whoever, they're movie stars in their own right, but their persona is now split across multiple mediums. And though it might make them pervasive in people's minds in a different way, but that sort of connection that you get in this larger than life setup, which is the movie theater, it's sort of hard to replicate. And I think Tom is probably the only one, like you said, that's why he is the last movie star in that, right? Because he's holding on that. And the thing that we mocked him for in this world of sort of cynicism, in a weird way, this sincere, obsessive commitment actually sort of stands out. Because who else is doing that, you know? Mock everybody for that. Like anything that's too sincere almost comes off as corny or... And we sort of, you know, are circumspect about it versus in his case, after doing the same thing for years and years, finally people are like, oh, this is actually kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. His sincerity is now part of his persona in a way, I think.
Yeah.
And that's what makes him so unique now. But I think, yeah, you raise a really good point. He hasn't done TV.
No.
And so many of these movie stars, even ones that I still wouldn't consider movie stars nowadays, they've been pulled into the HBO, you know,
miniseries
thing, or, you know, they're all, Al Pacino did an Amazon series for a while. Like they're doing these things. And Tom, I think, recognizes the fact that a movie star is someone who you only see in the movies and you only see maybe once every, you know, couple of years when they have a film come out. And that is what makes him. Which when I remember back again to the, you know, the 90s when I was first getting into films, that's what Tom was to me then. And he still is that now. Like, he's continued that. Whereas so many of these other stars who I still, you know, think are movie stars, like they've dabbled in some of those streaming right. shows, and it's a different thing. It's very yeah. different than what Tom decided to do, you know?
Yeah, totally. And I guess the cost there is the kind of movies, right? That for a long, long time, and you and I, we've talked about this over, you know, many coffees and drinks that we wish Tom would do something else. We wish he would work with a PDA or whoever else again and you know, have a very rich character portrayal. But I think that's the cost of this, because you can sustain that sort of movie star persona and not do TV only if you are engaging in these big action spectacle event movies, because guess what? Those other kind of movies have been eaten up. You know, they
Right.
don't exist. And if he wanted to still making those, he would have probably had to make a HBO miniseries because, you know, the risk there is totally different. So in a weird way, the thing that I've once again I used to knock him for that, oh, all you're gonna play is the same character, Maverick or Ethan Hunt, which basically is the same person.
Yeah, right.
But it, maybe he's having the last laugh, because but I still think that's the cost to this, because I love seeing Tom outside of that mold, you know, and
Oh yeah.
even though it's still Tom, but at least the hair is different or the clothes are different
Yeah,
or
maybe.
the setup is different in some way. And that's the cost of it, you know, and it's a shame that we probably are never going to see him, you know, in a movie like that going forward.
No, that's true. And actually, you know, when you look back on his career, I think what he's done, purposely or not, is been at the center of whatever type of film was popular at the time. Like he was in those
Yeah.
big 80s blockbusters, and then in the 90s he was doing a lot of those more actor performances, quote
Yeah,
unquote.
adult
Like he would, yeah,
dramas.
he worked with Stanley Kubrick, he worked with Paul Thomas Anderson, he worked with you know, the quote you started off on, Jerry Maguire, right? He's
Yeah.
picking these top talents like Cameron Crowe
Auteurs.
and auteurs, exactly, and working with them. And that was the final gasp, I think, of the auteur age was in the 90s. And then now that we're in this age of just IP and blockbuster, you know, MCU kind of phase of film, he's doing that, but he's doing that
Yeah.
in his own way. He's doing Ethan Hunt and doing that as Maverick. So again, whether that was a conscious decision or he like knew where the audience was going, perhaps, or he followed where the audience was going, which is another thing I think that really does separate Tom, especially in this phase of his career, where, you know, it is part of his persona, but I believe this is what he's doing. He's making movies for an audience. And he thinks about the audience first and then sort of backs into whatever he wants to do. Because at the end of the day, like these are entertainers, all of
Right.
these actors and actresses, and they're just trying to entertain, and we're the audience. So think about us and try to entertain us, you know, like I know it's not Tom, but like the line from Gladiator, right? Are you not entertained? Like that's what they're supposed to do at the end of the day. I mean, yeah, you can talk about art and all these other things part of it, but at the end of the day, they're entertainers. And I think that's what Tom, at least this part of his career for sure, has decided that's what he's gonna do. Just make movies for people to have fun and entertain us, even if he's putting his life on the line with some of these crazy things he's doing in
I
these mission
know.
movies now, but he's, you know, he's doing it for us. And that to me also makes it feel kind of personal in that sense of like, oh,
Yeah.
Tom's doing these crazy things, not because he wants to stretch his art or win an Oscar. He doesn't care about those things. At least that's what he's saying. He's just doing it to entertain me personally. Like I'm in a theater, I'm gonna go to mission, I'm excited for it, and I'm gonna be sitting there, but yeah, Tom did this for me. And that is in a way like some parasocial relationship I feel with
Yeah,
him
it's
of like
intimate in that
it's intimate
sense.
in that sense. Exactly. Right.
Yeah, no, although I do think he cares about the Oscar.
I don't think he does anymore, honestly. He tried in the 90s and he didn't get
yeah.
there, and now I don't think he cares, honestly. He
Him
didn't
not
show
showing up,
up at the Oscars. We talked
to
about
me,
that.
that's what means that he cares, because he knew he's not gonna win
Oh.
and nothing's, this movie's probably gonna go empty-handed. They won one award, but that
Right,
was
right,
sort of
right.
it. So to me, that signals that he cares. Otherwise, he would have been there.
Perhaps, yeah, that's true. Yeah, so to go over his filmography, like we talked about each of our first movies that sort of got us into Tom. I'll start with just a standout sort of when I think of Tom's performances, what I think of. I mean, I think actually probably the better way to do this with Tom is the different eras that, you know, I think he has. And definitely in the 80s for me, when we just talked about Born on the 4th of July, I think that's one of his best performances. Rain Man, just incredible. I mean, yeah, Hoffman sort of owns that movie, but I think a
Right.
lot of it doesn't work without what Tom's putting in there. And then even though I don't like the first Top Gun, I think those are the three to me at least, the Top Gun, Rain Man, and Born on the 4th of July that sort of cement that first part of his career. Yeah, what about you? What are some early Tom movies that sort of mean Tom to you?
Yeah, I mean, those are all fantastic choices, but I sort of also like the boyish Tom Cruise from that era. So, Cocktail and Risky Business, The Firm, where you can see that this is, this guy who's very young and very boyish looking, but has this screen presence and sort of powerhouse energy behind him. You can't escape him. You can't look away from him. But I also like that era because this is where he's the most playful, I think. The seriousness of
Definitely.
his own persona and his own success hasn't quite touched him, but you see the hunger, which he's always had till this day.
Right. No, that's a really good point. Those roles, yeah, you can tell he's trying to like be the next guy. I mean, I think Color of Money is a great
Oh,
example of
yeah,
that too, where he's
exactly.
next to another major movie star,
Right.
Paul Newman,
It's
but he's there
passing up
trying.
the baton.
Exactly. He's trying to prove himself now as that cocky upstart. I mean, that's even in the narrative of the film, which is why
Right.
that movie works so well. And I think,
Yeah.
well, that's why Scorsese probably chose Tom for that part, because he's the cocky upstart next to the legendary old master. And but
Right.
he sort of, eventually proves himself in the end of that film. And I think that is that first part of his career for sure. And as we move into, again, I think there's phases of Tom, and the second phase where he really is on the pinnacle. Like in the beginning,
Right.
he's trying to get there. Then in the 90s, when I first kind of came to watching his films, again, Mission for me, I can't not mention that one, that first Mission film. But again, Eyes Wide Shut, like Kubrick was my favorite director, even as a high school student. And when he then worked with Kubrick, I think that movie for me is aged very well, and honestly, like, gone higher in my Kubrick rankings over time. And I think a lot of it's to do with his star persona and what Kubrick knew, and when he cast him in that film, he was trying to do something very specific, and he did it. So I think that one for sure stands out for me. And Magnolia, which I think is a showy performance, sure, but he's trying to win the Oscar for sure. But I really do think he gives an amazing performance and something that I wish he would do more of. What about you in that 90s period? What are your Tom films?
Yeah, this is sort of his auteur era, like we've talked about earlier. I think Magnolia is probably his best performance in my mind. And this is PTA, I think, really harnessed Tom and his persona of this obsessive person in this role. So I think to me that's obviously a huge, huge standout. I wish he'd won the Oscar for that. Totally
Yeah,
deserved it.
me too.
I would also say this is the era of the romantic comedies that he did. So I think Jerry Maguire is a huge, huge standout. I don't think you get the full Tom Cruise career and star persona without that movie, its legacy, its iconic lines, and sort of this boy next door kind of good guy with the same lion heart and crazy energy. But I think you need that to round off some of these more serious, obsessive performances. So, yeah, I would pick that. And then, of course, Mission.
Yeah, no, that Jerry Maguire is a good call out. And then we get into sort of, it's interesting because the next decade of like the 2000s, before he kind of found himself with, I think, again, Ghost Protocol, which is Mission Impossible 4, there was a bit of a fallow period. Like he had still some great performances. His stuff with Spielberg, you mentioned War of the Worlds. I also think he's fantastic in Minority Report. I remember being very excited of, big director Spielberg finally working with the biggest actor in the world, Tom Cruise. And Minority Report was just incredible performance, but then he kind of does, and we talked about Collateral. That's another film we
Yeah, I was
talked
going to
about
mention.
during more working with those auteurs, Michael Mann, and then he kind of falls off a little bit and kind of loses himself. I mean, honestly, during this period, I mean, we mentioned the big ones. He has a lot of huge. Last Samurai is one of my favorite films. Collateral, War of the Worlds, Minority Report. Like he still had some big hits, and honestly, after that, until Ghost Protocol, like I don't think it's really worth. Like those are not films that I think he does a good job in after that. Like the Valkyries and my God, I saw Lions or Lambs for the first time a month ago. One of the worst films I've ever seen in
Oh,
my entire life.
very boring
And a lot of other
and
problems.
problematic.
Yeah. So yeah, that is a, yeah, that is such a movie of its era in the like pro Iraq war period. But yeah, what about you? What are you thinking in this time for him?
Yeah, I think you mentioned the obvious ones because there isn't anything else to mention.
Right.
I will say he's still good in the Redford movie, even though the movie is boring and I don't quite like it, but he is annoyingly good. And I do like that, you know, he got to share screen with Meryl, one of my favorites.
There you
they
go.
Never
yeah,
worked
the,
together. So
that's
that
right.
Was
that was the first and so far
only,
only time. Yeah,
yeah,
unless she
yeah.
shows up in a Mission movie.
And that
he
would
rips
be
his,
amazing.
someone rips their mask off and it's Meryl Streep underneath.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
And then I guess we get into the last era. What are some of your standouts in from this era?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, in the last 10 years, it's Mission, really. That stands above
yep,
all.
That's
like,
it.
Fallout is one of the best action movies.
And Maverick.
And Maverick, too. Right, right. But as you said, those are kind of the same.
They're the same, exactly.
Same kind of character. But I think those the theme in the last 10 years has been Tom, who is, you know, trying to entertain audiences and put himself on the line to do that. And I think both Top Gun and these Mission films where he's doing these crazy stunts and going out there on these, you know, press tours and talking about the love of the audience. I think that is the phase we're in now of Tom, which, you know, I think is my favorite one, honestly, of him. Is this recent, more
really?
Recent, most recent phase? I think. I mean, I respect what he was trying to do in the 90s, like you said, win the Oscar, do those, work with all those auteurs. But there are so many actors that have done similar things, De Niro and DiCaprio, that are doing that same. Oh, I'm going to work with all the best guys. But Tom is, he is now, he has become the movies. He is a personification of the movies, and I think that is something that no other actor has really stepped into that. I think this is in a way like I feel the most personally connected to Tom in this era.
Interesting. Yeah, I can totally see that. But yeah, from this phase, the one I would underline once again is Edge of Tomorrow. I think that's a pretty important movie, and it's the only movie that stands out a little bit from the Ethan Hunt persona, even though on the outside it's in that mold. But I think that movie is very important, at least for film lovers in the film community to have like a critical success that kind of, you know, undercuts itself. And so I think that's pretty important because there he showed that, oh, I can still operate in this familiar milieu that you all now associate me with, but yet also make it a little bit different. So I love that movie for that.
No, definitely. I think Edge of Tomorrow, classic Tom, honestly. And if folks haven't seen that because it didn't resonate with audiences in theaters, at least definitely check that out on streaming. It's a great performance where he kind of plays around with his star persona a little bit too, and mocks himself, which is a rare thing for him. What about you? What's your favorite Tom era?
I think the '90s.
The '90s.
Yeah. None of this would be on the table if we didn't have that era with him being a movie star, a blockbuster draw, but also working with all these amazing auteurs and showing his range. Like that to me is pivotal. And then also just from a pop culture standpoint, like this is, you know, without that Tom, him and Nicole and, you know, their life all of that, like none of this would exist without that. So I think the '90s.
Nice.
So I guess this is a fun game to play, which is, you know, if we could put Tom in any kind of movie, or it doesn't even have to be a movie, but yeah, what would you like to see him do next in the next phase of his career?
Yeah, we'll play Tom's agents for a second.
Yeah.
If he's listening, this is, you know, unsolicited advice for him. for me, it's actually kind of pivots back to what you were just saying. I think I would love to see him return to an age where he is stretching his persona again a little bit and doing something, working with, I mean, it's funny because I think he's worked with all the top guys now already. So who would he, maybe Eastwood? He's never worked with him. That'd be kind of interesting. But yeah, I'd like to see him take this new persona of his, which is Mr. Movies, doing Ethan Hunt, doing Top Gun Maverick, and try to stretch himself again back into something that is more of that 90s era, like you mentioned. I definitely don't think he should do anything outside of the movies. I don't want a Tom Cruise show. I don't want a Tom Cruise streaming series on Max, whatever, Plus, or whatever the hell it's going to be called now. I think he should stick to the movies. What about you? What would you like to see him do?
Yeah, pretty much the same. I feel like he has gained the popularity and the goodwill status right now, you know, more than ever in his career. So I think he should really cash that goodwill and do something interesting, maybe with an upcoming auteur. I would love to see him work with, I don't know, Greta Gerwig or Barry Jenkins or, some of these Jordan Peele, you know, all these upcoming people who made some interesting movies in the last 10 years, like that would be really fun to see. It doesn't have to be an old auteur. Yeah, I wish they would write a part that was maybe not even a lead. Maybe it was kind of the old master like Paul Newman in Color of Money kind of person, you know, who's very signature, somebody who's been there, done that, but is sort of slyly, you know, sits on the sidelines, but is still this magnetic kind of center of the movie. Like that's the kind of part I would want to see him play where, yeah, the movie is sold on him, but he's not the main lead, which I think is kind of, there might be something fun about that you go to the movies for a bit of a surprise. And nobody has that kind of draw, you know, like him. So I think this is a perfect time for him to do something like that.
Definitely. You're pretty much describing what he did with Magnolia, I feel like, up and coming director. Yeah. And I would love to see him do that again in a way.
But in an older part. You know?
Right.
Maturer part. Like, I don't want him to, because with Ethan Hunt and Maverick, like he's 60 years old and, you know, bless him, like whatever he's on is working. So.
Looks better than me at 40.
Exactly. So. but I would want him to play his age or maybe even older, you know. It'd be interesting to see him with some gray.
Yeah, you mentioned Ethan Hunt and Maverick. I think what's exciting and, you know, a little sad too at the same time is Mission's ending. Like these are the last two. And I feel like this will close the door on this phase of his career. And then what is he going to do afterwards? And I would love to see him do the stuff you just described, right? And now actually play the old role and, you know, play the guy passing the baton and things that he hasn't done yet. I think he's very calculating. That's one thing that Tom is who throughout his entire career, he's very calculating. I know that Mission ending with next year's final Mission film that he's supposedly final film that they've said that gives him now the chance to do a new phase of his career. And it's just a really exciting for the world to see what he does.
I couldn't agree more, but I agree that he should not do a TV series or anything like
No. Get out of TV, Tom. Stay in the movies. You're Mr. Movies. Yeah. Well, hope you guys enjoyed this discussion. Something we're starting now. So every so often we'll drop an episode about our favorite filmmakers. So hope you guys enjoyed our kickoff discussion with Tom. Definitely, you know, make sure to subscribe on all your podcast platform of choice. We're also on YouTube where you can find each individual review of a movie that covered. Please rate and review us as well because that helps us in the algorithm on these platforms. And I think we're saying goodbye to Tom here.
Well, not forever. He's still with us, but yeah.
Yes, thank you. Yes, thank God.
Bye, all.